Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Jeremy White.
Spring in general is the Sabres' full season.
And Joe DiBiase.
But what do you do with that? How do you play off Italian Stallion? You're not putting horse meat on it, are you?
Oh, look at this. Looks like, are we out of it? It's sunny. No, it's not. It's not nice anymore. You're going to lose a couple games. Oh, okay. This weather is the worst ever. We'll never get out of it. Actually, it's sunny 2 days later.
I did not encourage putting horse meat on this hot dog. Just want everyone to make that clear.
Call, text, or tweet Jeremy and Joe now at 803-0550 and get connected on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Heyo! Hi, Joe. Hey, Josh.
Morning.
What's up, fellas?
Big night.
A little bit of rain tonight.
Big night. What,
rain today. Why? What's tonight?
Look at these Denver Nuggets up here. On to the next round.
Okay.
Again.
And LeBron's going to Cleveland?
Is that out there?
Huh?
I thought LeBron's just going to play wherever his son gets drafted, which is why the debate will rage on the debate shows this summer of where do you pick Bronny James if LeBron
would
comes
come
with him? First?
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, that's cool. You got that going tonight. High of
you're going to have to like the NBA because the NHL playoffs are going to have like a week off because all these series are about to end.
Yeah.
Right,
I saw Travis Yost tweet something about that. That the NHL really needs a couple teams that are going to lose to win. Florida did not.
No,
they did not lose. Rather,
so that series is over.
That series is over. The Rangers and the Capitals. I mean, like you've got series wrapping up. At least you had Vegas and Dallas. That's 2-2 now.
Yeah. If you have, so this would be a lot to happen. I could parlay this. It'd probably be long odds. But tonight, if Boston, Carolina, Colorado, and Vancouver all win tonight.
They all end?
They all end. Right. And we could be looking at Dallas and Vegas at 2-2 as the only series going for like a week.
Yeah.
If not like a week and a half.
That's pretty wild. All right.
That's probably not likely to happen to get all four of those results tonight, but hey, you never know.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want that to happen because then you're just going every other night and there's one hockey game. That would be a very bad thing.
I watched a little of Florida and Tampa last night, which I felt like Florida from the start of game one is a much better team, and they took them out in five games.
Yep.
And I was there for Evan Rodriguez's goal. Mm-hmm. I was there to see Oposo dressed last night.
I saw. Did he do anything?
He was in the handshake line.
Well, he did that.
So I did see him in the handshake line. I'm not taking a shot at him when I say it is the only place I saw him was the handshake line. I mean, they won that game 6-1 with two empty netters late.
Yep.
Evan Rodriguez scored. Got a chance to see that one. Florida's on to the next round and will play the winner of the Boston-Toronto series. So, you know, maybe Reinhart, Montour, Oposo,
Rodriguez. Just a team
four guys. Four guys.
Yeah.
Amazing. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and it's going to be cloudy, kind of nice. Yesterday was beautiful.
Yes.
Guess what I did yesterday? One of the best things you can do in the world on a day like yesterday. I got a chance to use a pressure washer.
Nice.
Yes.
Very satisfying, the pressure washer.
The best.
Yeah.
You ever played Pressure Washer Simulator?
I have not. I do know that it exists.
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
It's just like when you're in the middle of winter, and you're like, you know what? I'd like to pressure wash right now.
And you do it.
You just do it. Yep. It's so satisfying.
It's like PlayStation or what?
Yeah. Any of the major consoles. You can get it on PC too, probably. It's pretty good. It's fun.
Goat Simulator is another one. What's with all these simulators?
Lawn mowing simulator.
Farm simulator.
What's Goat Simulator? Like you?
That one's
you
just weird.
Tend to goats, I think.
Oh. No.
You are a goat?
You are a goat.
Oh, you are a goat.
It's weird. It's not like the other ones.
All right.
But lawn mowing simulator and pressure washing simulator, those are good
Satisfying.
Ones.
But you did a real simulator. The real pressure washer.
Yeah, you know, it's nice out, getting stuff out of the garage, cleaning stuff out, have the kids' water table thing that's got a little bit of mold on it, and just blast it right out of there.
Nice.
The moment that that first line of the pressurized water goes, and it's just completely clear.
Yeah,
man, what a feeling.
Did you get done with whatever you were intent on pressure washing, and then look around like, what else can I pressure wash here?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
The car that you're probably not supposed to do.
The driveway. Last year, a couple years ago, I did that.
That's what I did.
I wrote "Go Bills" in the driveway because you know why not?
Right.
Pressure washer. What's better? What's better? So, yeah, did that yesterday. I cut down a tree.
Was it warm enough for that? Because you do get...
High of 7. Yesterday, it went to 77.
All right, then... Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yesterday was a high of 77.
So you've been okay, because you do get the water splashing a little bit.
Yep. Was not a factor.
All right.
I was shorts and t-shirt. I wore shorts today.
I also wore shorts
and
today.
And I realized that was probably an aftershock decision, because it's not going to be that warm today. It's going to be 63. But also rain.
I thought it was going to be 70 again.
Nah, no, 63 and rain.
What am I thinking of? Friday's going to be the hot day? Is that what I'm thinking of? Yeah, Friday's going to be the hot day, like 80 degrees on Friday.
Nice.
Well, yeah, we had the windows open all day yesterday. It felt like a summer day.
It was really nice. Yeah. Felt like such a summer day that we left windows in the house open, and when I came downstairs this morning, it was freezing.
Yes.
It's like 50 degrees in the house.
Yes.
I go, well, maybe not that bold, maybe not yet. So anyway. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to talk to Lindy Ruff at 8.
Surreal.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, first time on this show in 13 years. No, 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years. Would you remember that?
What? Like, remember having him
no,
on?
No, like the last time you would have...
No, not the last time.
Okay.
I can remember times over the years. I can remember... asking if he feels like, you know, do you feel like you're safe in your job when it started to get tense?
Uh-huh.
I can remember the questions, Howard asking him, is your team tough enough right after the Lucic incident?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all that stuff. Yeah. He was the coach of the team during the Lucic incident, which is really the fork in the road when the organization decided to focus on the wrong things.
Yeah, they signed John Scott and traded for Steve Ott like pretty quickly after that. Yeah, that was a few weeks. Right, to a month.
Yep.
When was that second game? It was the middle period before.
It was definitely weeks later.
Weeks later.
I want to say it was weeks later.
Gost had fought Lucic right at the start, and it felt forced.
Yep.
Yeah, that wasn't a great time.
No, it wasn't. Boston's been good every year since.
they've never been bad since.
It's not always because they hit people, but that's part of it.
Yeah, they just stole the soul of the Sabres franchise forever.
Yeah. Well, Lindy's got to get it back. So Lindy's coming up at 8 o'clock, and we'll take your calls throughout, have a little fun today, keep it real, whatever. We've got a lot of stuff on Keon Coleman. If you missed yesterday, Greg Cosell had some interesting things to say about Keon Coleman and Quintez Cephas, for that matter. Both of them.
Oh, we got some Quintez Cephas hype?
Not quite hype. But
not hype? Did you know he's like really slow?
And big.
Is he even big?
He
ran a 4.73.
Yeah.
You think Coleman at 4.61 was slow at the combine. 4.73 was Cephas.
6'1", 210. I mean, not monster, but that's a larger.
Yeah, he's fine. He's big.
He's bigger than, not Coleman, but a couple of the other guys. Nate Tice had a tweet about the Bills saying that the Bills have let me find the exact tweet, that the Bills are basically bringing back ball winners. Ugh. They're going back to
I'm acting like that's new. Like we've seen it happen slowly here, haven't we?
Yeah, Nate Tice. Bills said ball winners are back on the menu.
Didn't they learn their lesson? Didn't they try that when Allen first got here?
With Calvin Benjamin?
And Andre Holmes, and like they had big targets, didn't they? And no one got open, and then they realized, oh, this is dumb. We should go get smaller guys that get open all the time. And then they had the greatest 4 years that we've ever seen.
That's right. That's right. Well, Coleman, Coleman is... I love talking about Coleman because you could almost say he's a unicorn, not in the way that we say, like, McDavid's a unicorn, but in that he's actually legitimately very...
unique.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say very unique.
There's not like a perfect comp.
No.
Not like you'll find good comps, but no one that fits like every element here where, oh, he's big and does great against contested catches and he's not that fast.
But his hands are amazing and he's great in traffic.
And he makes people miss, right? Like that and run through you. But, oh, and he's good against zone. Okay. But he's not good against man. And he's terrible. Like just. All of those factors together, you can't really find a guy.
Yeah, he's one of one. And a lot of times we use that phrase to describe somebody like Justin Jefferson is one of one.
Right.
But sometimes other guys that are unproven can just be the one of one. I'm thinking about what was that Bills defensive tackle they drafted who was 400 pounds, like Michael Jasper or something.
Michael Jasper.
Right? How do you like that? That guy was one of one and didn't make it, but he was, wow, look at this guy. He's a lot different than whoever it might be. You might feel that way about Xavier Worthy is one of one. Nobody's ever been that fast. Doesn't mean he's going to be good. It's going to play out, but, you know, the comps maybe aren't easy to find. So yesterday, watching a lot of the breakdown of Keon Coleman, it is kind of funny how we, for better or for worse, a lot of people out there look at the draft. They spend, you know, we all spend months and months and months looking forward to it, mocking receivers, dreaming of this receiver and that defensive back and this linebacker and this seat. And then it happens, and the conclusions that are drawn from it probably, can we all admit here, they probably all go way too far. Because I've seen that the Bills adding who they've added, Quintez Cephas and Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel.
Matt Collins.
These guys have low drop rates.
Yeah.
One individual I saw, a takeaway was, and I'm not mentioning them, I just forgot who it was, that it's the Bills' reaction to the drops in the playoff game.
Right.
And I think, boy, that is just such a massive leap.
Two drops at the end.
Two drops
at the end. To how your season ended.
Right, right. Which is something that Bean, by the way, has said, when you lose, you see what your weakness is. When did we think the drops were the Bills' weakness? You know, like, we didn't. So I don't necessarily think that they overreacted to the drop in a playoff game by Trent Sherfield and Diggs and decided, well, we need guys that don't drop the ball. I mean, receivers drop the ball. It's going to happen. You'd like it not to happen. You'd like guys that are more sure-handed than others. But the idea they would overhaul their outside receivers to be ball winners that don't drop it, to me, looks like a pretty big overreaction if that's, in fact, what did happen. It's also worth mentioning, what do we know about the Bills and Keon Coleman? We know that they liked him more than Worthy and more than Leggett. And more than Ricky Pearsall.
Do we know that, or do we know that they just liked him maybe the same? Like, are we assuming if they sat at 28, they would have picked Keon Coleman?
Yes.
Or at 32, they would have picked Keon Coleman?
Yes. Yes, I don't think they would have traded down.
Because there were, especially at 28, there were, three or four receivers that went off the board, some half by their own choosing, I know, between where they were at 28 and where they were. You know, like, were they going to pick Ricky Pearsall and said, well, we have five of these guys the same, so we'll move back because we don't care. We know we're going to get one of them.
I don't know. We never get to see these boards. I think we overestimate a lot of these guys are the same. I mean, Keon Coleman is not the same as Xavier Worthy.
They're extremely different.
Right. So if they had them with the same grade, the Bills know the type of receiver they want there. And maybe Leggett is closer because he's a bigger guy. But
Pearsall's the one with the highlight reel catches.
That's right. But if they wanted Keon Coleman, he's different in a lot of ways than those other guys. So I think we know that they had Coleman at worst fifth on their board. And maybe higher. But at worst, it's fifth because four receivers go. Then they trade down, and they don't want Worthy. They watch Pearsall go. They watch Leggett go. Then they get an offer, and they say, no thanks, and they stay put. And Ladd McConkey goes next. We know they liked him more than Ladd McConkey.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that they like Coleman, at worst, the fifth guy off the board, that kind of shapes a lot of the conversation now about their offseason. It's almost like in the draft, we do this all the time. We talk about the guy you took was the plan all along. And I wonder how much that's true about Coleman for these Bills. Because Quintez Cephas and Coleman, and if they keep getting bigger bodies, Mac Hollins here too.
He's big.
If they keep going big on the outside, then I think I've got every reason to believe that Coleman would have been, you know, fifth at worst, maybe higher. Maybe they like him more than the idea of a Brian Thomas.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maybe. Fifth overall of the receivers. We know that much.
Uh-huh.
And where does that get you? Greg Cosell, we'll play highlights of Greg Cosell, who was on with One Bills Live yesterday, talking about Coleman. And it's funny because it's just going to be such a callback for Bills fans. It's going to be a callback to Allen, where there are traits to like, but you've got to unlock some stuff. That was a phrase that Greg Cosell used a bunch was, there's a lot to unlock here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he watched Coleman, at times he was impressed and at times he was not. And he doesn't really know what to think of it because there's a player in there that's good. The question is, how does he succeed? And trying to figure out exactly how they use him is an exercise in trying to figure out what Joe Brady's offense looks like. It's almost like we spend 3 months, Joe, mocking the draft, and then we get the draft. Should we spend 3 months mocking the offense? Like, what is it actually right. going to look like? They drafted a running back to add in there. They drafted multiple linemen to make sure they're deeper. They switch their center. They get bigger at receiver. They let their elite ball separator leave, and they do not replace him.
Right.
If they wanted to replace Diggs, the answer could have been Ladd McConkey right there at 33. He was the best separator in the class, one of them. best separator.
Right.
And that would have been an easy, all right, well, there's your replacement for Diggs. Hopefully, Ladd McConkey can turn into something nice. Already, McConkey, I'm seeing in the fantasy community, is being mocked ahead of Coleman as primary target. And that's, again, that's about like where you are in the target hierarchy. But Coleman is a bit down behind Kincaid and maybe Shakir. And Ladd McConkey is their, what, number one target right away. So fantasy doesn't tell the whole story, but McConkey would have been your Diggs replacement in finger quotes. And instead, they go with their, I mean, kind of a Gabe replacement, but still different in a way.
But he's going to do all the Gabe stuff. Who, like in their offense, like trying to figure out who it is, who's running the Diggs routes? Because
Maybe those routes are
getting run. Someone is playing that Z spot where you're running at all levels of the field. Someone else is going to line up there.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins, I guess, is your answer.
Yeah, like I think I'm wondering, they might not, they're not going to expect the same role. But think about how Brady used Diggs at the end of the year. It wasn't just the stuff that Diggs normally did. It was shorter routes. It was getting the ball in his hands at the line of scrimmage. Like, to me, Brady tried to use Diggs in a certain way at the end of the year, and it didn't work. Almost trying to force the ball into his hands when Diggs has always been a receiver where, hey, you don't have to force the ball to me. Like, I'm going to get open on my own. I'm a technician. I'm going to get open here. You don't have to force me the ball. But that's how they were using him at the end of last year. So, and beyond that, before Brady took over, Diggs is, again, you don't know what he's going to run. You don't know if he's going to run vertical here. You don't know if he's going to run a quick out. You don't know if he's going to run somewhere in the intermediate. He can do all of the routes. And who on the team right now is capable of doing that? Like, I think it's going to be Samuel. I don't think it's going to be the same impact, but why don't they want Ladd McConkey? Because I think they might think that Curtis Samuel's their Ladd McConkey. That he's going to play the Diggs snaps. He's going to play the Diggs routes. He's going to get the ball in his hands at the line like Brady tried to do with Diggs. And we've already got our Diggs, at least for the time being. It's going to be Curtis Samuel. So I'm thinking he's a huge part of this offense because I don't see anybody else that even has close to the profile to do any of the things that Diggs did. Right? Shakir's not doing it from that spot. Coleman is certainly not doing it. He's not the profile for that. Even Hollins is closer to Gabe Davis from what I know about him, and that he's big and runs a lot of his routes more vertically, like just kind of stretching the field. So who else on the team has the profile like Shakir, like Samuel, where you might have faith he can move out to the outside and do some of the things that Diggs did? He is it for that stuff.
He can beat man. I mean, he's got good numbers against man and against press, like good enough, I should say. Like, where we lived, it is funny, the rewriting of, you know, you're mad at Diggs, so you're not allowed to say nice things about him. But Stephon Diggs spent his entire career here as one of the best man beaters in the NFL. One of, like, the four best.
Yeah.
And anybody else that they want to do that now is going to win those battles consistently less than Diggs did. Now, you know, the design of the offense might be entirely different, so we'll see how that ultimately goes. But Samuel... Cephas, I don't know if you know Cephas a camp body, or should I really think he could make this team? I mean, he might be a camp body.
I mean, one of what? Him, KJ Hamler, and should I even throw like Isabella in
Tyrell
there?
Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter. Michael Gallup signed yesterday, 1 year, $3 million with the Raiders.
Yep.
Which is probably too rich for the Bills' blood. $3 million? they don't have a lot of room.
Oh.
There still is the possibility of a move post June 1. I don't know how likely it is. Bean said it's not coming. It would, of course, change how a lot of people that are nervous about the receivers and the weapons, it would change the entire conversation. They're good at tight end. There's no doubt about that. They're good over the middle of the field. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Shakir, we are counting on him to be a focal point in this offense. Curtis Samuel wins in those same spots. It's going to remain the outside. Coleman, Mac Hollins, yep. Cephas, like whichever guys out there, they think they can win without speed, and that's fine. Like the number of people yesterday that I saw wrote to me or arguing back and forth about it on you don't have to be fast to be good, and that is definitely true. You don't have to be fast to be good, but you generally have to separate, and that's where the Greg Cosell conversation about there's a lot to unlock here. He even went so far, Joe, as to say he's loose in the way he operates. He meant that in a good way. If I'm using scouting language here, like, he's fluid. He might be able to refine his skill set and give the Bills more than he's shown he can give right now. 803-0550. We'll get Jay in Rochester in before the break. Jay, good morning.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm sorry, dude, but I really think Dean has literally destroyed this team in the last 2 years, if you look at it. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any plan to replace Diggs. I mean, you get rid of your number one receiver, you go out and you basically get a big possession receiver. Unless he trades for Ayuk, this team is going to take a gigantic step back offensively. And then when is it a matter of time before Josh Allen is fed up with this? I mean, I also see that this has McDermott written all over it. Seems to me Diggs challenged McDermott, didn't get along with the coach. He's gone. So what do? We go to a ball control offense. The guy drafts a backup safety in the second round when we need wide receivers. The guy goes out and drafts a running back when we need wide receivers. I mean, this is almost insanity. I mean, the only saving grace, maybe, is that can Coleman be like Marquise Colston? Now, that's a gigantic stretch, but the reason why I'm saying it is he's a big receiver and played for Sean Payton, which is what I believe Joe Brady comes from, the Payton tree. But keep in mind also, Colston played in the slot. He's not an X. So what is the philosophy of this offense, and what are we doing?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like anybody knows.
Yeah. Colson's actually not a bad comp, I feel like,
yeah,
for Coleman on some of these levels. The one thing I want to pick out there about McDermott, like, kind of taking over and putting his blueprint, his stamp on the offense, which, what is everyone thinking when I say that? Running the ball? Even though he has said previously that I learned under Andy Reid, whatever, like, I believe in throwing to win, and this team has been like the pass happiest offense in the league up until, and for 4 years until the second half of last year where they were middle of the pack. So one thing I would want to say in defense of McDermott on that front, sure, they got rid of Diggs. They let Davis walk. They haven't done a lot at receiver. I can understand why you would get to, well, they're going to run the, they're going to be this run-heavy offense. Maybe they'll be more run-heavy than they were, but what did they do at running back? They one fourth-round pick. That's all they've done at the position this offseason. They let veterans like Latavius Murray walk, and they've replaced all of him with one fourth-round pick. They didn't sign Derrick Henry. They didn't sign Saquon Barkley. There was a ton of money passed around in free agency at running back this offseason.
They didn't have any.
But running backs are cheap. You can get a running back for a couple of million bucks. But they didn't prioritize that over other positions, right? They didn't do that instead of Curtis Samuel. They didn't do that instead of someone on the defense that they ended up signing.
Did you see the mock draft that I retweeted yesterday that has the Bills taking a running back in the first round of the 2025
okay,
mock draft?
We're doing this already?
We're back, baby.
Come on.
We are back. Being mocked running backs. Won't be ready.
But, like, they're going to be ground and pound. With who? We think James Cook is going to be that guy?
Well, there's a long road between what they have been in ground and pound, and every step towards ground and pound, you know, makes them, what, the Bengals before they hit their stride and went to the Super Bowl? I mean, the Bengals were a team that ran it probably too much. The Ravens ran it a lot. They ground and pound. This year they became a team that threw it more, even though they had a running identity. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jay, I don't necessarily disagree with what you say. How you laid it out is the worst way to lay it out, and it's not unfair to do it. We just have to kind of wait to see. That's where it all hinges on Joe Brady here. Like, what happens with this offense, and what does Joe Brady's offense look like? We'll get some from Greg Cosell on that. He was on with One Bills Live yesterday. 803-0550, our phone number to chat with us about this this Bills offense. What's this team's floor? Think about that for a minute. What's the floor for this team in transition? Those are Brandon Bede's words. Team in transition. Losing all those leaders, losing some elite talents. What's the floor? 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, your calls. Lindy at 8. Plenty to get through this Tuesday morning on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.